been a few good weeks. Our parsha begins with a paro who's putting up a fight, but whose patience is wearing thin. Last week we went through seven makos. Paro knows that more is coming his way. He understands that the threat is very real, and his people are starting to get really frustrated with him. The people come to Paro and they're petitioning him, Paro, you need to reconsider. It's time to negotiate. This is not working. HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the one hand is promising, I'm going to harden Paro's heart. Paro is not going to give in. He's not going to cave. And yet the people are saying to Paro, just talk to Moshe. Have a conversation. Begin to negotiate. And that's where we pick up in source number one, the very beginning of the Parsha. Just a few psukim into the Parsha. V'yomru avdei Paro elav. Ad masai zelanu lamokesh. How long is this going to be something that you're fighting for, Paro? How much longer are we going to get stuck on this inyan? It's time to let go. Shalach es hanashim ve'yavdu es Hashem elokayam. Just let the people go. Let these Jews go and let them serve their God. Haterem teida ki avda Mitzrayim. Have you not gotten the report that Mitzrayim is hanging on by a thread? That Mitzrayim is nearly destroyed? Vayushav es Moshe ves Aaron al Paro. So Moshe and Aaron are brought back. Paro is willing to have a conversation. Vayomer Elayhem, and Paro says to Moshe and Aaron, Lechu evdu es Hashem elokeichem miva miyaholchem. I have no problem. You want to go serve your God? Great. I just need a list of the individuals who are planning on going on this trip, on this spiritual Shabbaton. Vayomer Moshe binarenu vizekenenu neilech vivanenu vivnosenu vitzornenu vivkarenu neilech chichag Hashem lado. In other words, everyone's going. The men are going, the women are going, the young are going, the old are going, the animals are going. Everyone's going. It's a big chag, it's a big celebration. Paro says, good try, Moshe Rabbeinu, and obviously I'm paraphrasing. Right? The Lord should be with you. I'm willing to meet you part of the way. But lo kein, it's not exactly the way that you said. Lechu nahagvarim, where it's bolded, pasuk yud aleph, take the men, take the adult males along to serve Hashem, ve'ivdu as Hashem, ki osa tem mevakshim, because that's what you're requesting. We'll see what that means in a moment. Ve'igoresh osa meis p'nei paro, and until you're ready to do it, on my terms, get out of here. What does it mean, take the men, that's what you've been requesting? Rashi explains in source number two, lo kein ka'asher amartim laholi chatafi machem. It's not going to be like you said to take the children along. Ela lechuna gvarim, just take the men. Vivdu as Hashem. After all, ki osa atem mevakshim, explains Rashi in the second line of source number two. Ki osa bikashtem adheina. That's what we've been talking about all along, is it not? Until now, you told me, what did you want to do? You told me that you want to go nizbucha lelokenu. You want to offer sacrifices. Why do you need to bring along your two-year-olds to offer sacrifices? The children aren't offering sacrifices. The kids are not going to be involved in the service of Hashem. So what are you schlepping the kids along for? In fact, it's dangerous, as he says in Pasuk Yud. I see Ru'uki Ra'a Neged Penechem. It's not a good idea. It's irrational. It's illogical. And it's not what we've been talking about all along. You told me you want to bring karbanos. So take the adult males. We'll bring the karbanos. On behalf of the Jewish people, what are you schlepping the kids into the wilderness for? The first question I want to pose tonight is Paro wrong? Is Paro's svara incorrect? It's pretty logical what he's saying. Now again, forgetting the fact that Paro's a Rasha and he has all sorts of ulterior motives, but in terms of a simple svara, it makes a lot of sense what Paro is saying. What are you schlepping the kids along? They'll be like 3 seconds into the drive, you know, are we there yet? Like, okay, you know, we should have left you in Mitzrayim. Paro was right. Just let the kids alone. What do you need it for? And in fact, what Paro is suggesting here is a question that Chazal themselves ask, albeit in a different context. But Chazal also wonder why we sometimes schlep the kids along. The Gemara in Chagiga in source number 3. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara tells the following story. Maisa b'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka v'Rabbi Lazar ben Chasma shaholchu lahakbil p'nei Rabbi Yeshua b'Pekiyin. Two great rabbis went to visit a third great rabbi. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Rabbi Lazar ben Chasma, or Chisma, went to visit Rabbi Yeshua in a place called Pekiyin. Amar lahem, Rabbi Yeshua said to them, Nu, where are you coming from? Oh, they're coming from the Beis Medrash. Nu, tell me a good vart that you heard recently. Ma chidish haye Beis Medrash hayom? Nu, he says to his students who are coming to visit him, Nu, tell me something good. What did you learn today? Amrulau, Talmidecha anu. Rebbe, we're your Talmidim. Umiyamecha anu shoysin. We drink your holy waters. We drink your Torah. You tell us Torah. Amar lahem, afal pichein, yefshar lebeis ha-medrash below chiddush. He says, it's true, maybe I have more to teach you, but every day you learn something new in the Beis Medrash. Share a little something with me. What'd you hear? What did the rabbi speak about in shul this past Shabbos? Shabbos shel mi haisa. Whose week was it? Shabbos shel Elazar ben Azariah haisa. It's referencing what we've been learning, those who are learning Daf Yomi. It's mamish happening in this today. Today and yesterday. Right? The story of Rabbi Gamliel being deposed as Nasi, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah taking over. Eventually, Rabbi Gamliel getting his position back, some type of arrangement where they took turns giving drashos. No, it was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's week. So what did he say? Did he say something good? Ma ha'isa ha'gada hayom? What was the Musar Shmuz about today? Amrulau. So they said to the Rebbe, okay, Rebbe, we'll tell you what we heard. The Parshas Hakel. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was giving a drasha about Hakel. Parshas Vayelech, where we're told to gather the Jews together as the king will read Sefer Devarim. Umad darashba, nu, so what was the drasha? Tell me already. So, here's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said. Hakel es ha'am ha'anoshim ha'anoshim v'ataf. The Torah says that when you gather for Hakel, we gather all the Jews, the men, the women, the children. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah posed the question, im anoshim ba'im lilmud. The men come to learn. Noshim ba'os lishmoa, the women as well come to listen. Taf lama ba'in. But what are the kids doing there? They don't understand the psukim. They don't get anything out of it. Answers the Gemara, Kedei litein schar lemivi ehen. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, to give schar, to give extra reward to the parents for schlepping the kids along, which was probably very annoying, packing all the snacks and bringing the diapers and the bottles, so that the parents get extra schar. Amar lahem, when Rabbi Yeshua heard this drasha, he said to his students, ah, margalis tova haisa biyadchem v'kashtem la'avt v'meni. Wow, it's a beautiful vart. And I had to squeeze it out of you. You gave me such a hard time to say it over. But what do you see from this Gemara? You see the Chazal had the same question as Paro. You see that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Nasi of the Jewish people, had this question. What do you need to bring the kids to Hakel? And again, all the more so, says Paro, what do you need to schlep the children into wilderness for, kids? Leave the kids in Mitzrayim. That's Paro's question. And again, it has basis in Chazal. That's question number one. Let's ask a second question on the parsha, and then we'll try to tie the two questions together. If you look a little bit later in the parsha, in source number 4, the Jews are ready to leave Mitzrayim. It's that great night. They're screaming in Mitzrayim. The Egyptian, firstborns are dying. Finally, they come to Klal Yisrael. They say, get out of here. We want you out of here immediately. Says the pasuk, source number 4, Vayisa ames betzeko tarim yachmatz. The Jews grab their dough, which is not yet fully prepared. Misharosam tsroros besimlosam al shechmam. They take misharosam. Now some translate misharosam. Ibn Ezra translates it as the kneading bowl. They grab the kneading bowl. They wrap it in their garments. And they place it on their shoulders and they're out of there. Ibn Ezra says actually the donkeys were carrying the clothing. So they just, as the donkeys are carrying all the extra clothing out of Mitzrayim. So they took the kneading bowls, they wrapped it in the clothing, tied it to the donkey, and they went out of Mitzrayim. Right? Al-Shechmam maybe doesn't mean their shoulder, on the donkey's shoulders. But Rashi says, no. They took the Misharosam and they put it on their shoulders. What is this Misharosam? Explains Rashi in source number 5, Shiyare Matza Umarar. This was the first Seder. Now, I just have to mention parenthetically, because it's an amazing thing to think about. Think about what that first Seder must have been like. A Seder before they were actually freed from its shrine. They celebrated the first Yetzias Mitzrayim before it actually happened. And the Sivrei Chassidus explain, we do that every year also. We think that when we sit at the Seder, it's a zecher to Mitzrayim. But we know that Chayiv Adam Liros Es Atzmo Kilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim. Which means every year as we gather around the Pesach table, we're sitting there anticipating Mashiach's arrival and saying, even though Mashiach's not here yet, we're going to celebrate in advance. The same way the Jews in Mitzrayim were celebrating their freedom before they had actually attained their freedom. There's a lot to think about that first, and a lot to learn from that first Seder in Mitzrayim. But as they're being raced out of Mitzrayim, as they're being hurried out of Mitzrayim, there's a little bit of leftover shiyare matzu umarar. They hadn't finished their meal. A little extra mar, a few extra romaine lettuce stalks on the table. A couple pieces of matzah left on the table. So what did they do? They took it, they wrapped it in their clothing, and they carried it on their shoulders. Why on their shoulders, says Rashi? Afal pi, shebehemos harbe holicho iman. Even though they had many animals escorting them, supporting them, transporting them out of Mitzrayim, mechavim hayu asam mitzvah. For the love of mitzvos, they said, we're going to carry the matzah and the mar ourselves. What an amazing display for the mitzvah. For what mitzvah? Well, for the leftover matzah and mar. So I hate to sound like, you know, like a, I don't want to take the, it's a sweet Rashi, it's a beautiful idea. For the love of the mitzvah, here they are, racing out of Mitzrayim, but they still maintain their composure enough to say, yeah, but even in our harried moments, we have to show kavod to the mitzvah. I hate to sound like the person who asked that annoying question and ruins the shir, but is leftover matzah and that extra piece of romaine lettuce, is it actually a mitzvah? Let's assume, probably rightfully so, that they ate a kazayas of matzah already. They had their maror already. Right? This is just the extra, you know? What would we do with it at the end of the Seder? We put it back in the fridge. Or we put it on the shelf. We put the extra matzah on the side for lunch tomorrow, when it's not really a mitzvah anymore, because be'erev tochlu matzos. The mitzvah of eating matzah is at the night of the Seder, and the mitzvah is a kazayas. Okay, a whole discussion, maybe if you have more than a kazayas, every extra bite counts for something, but now it's over, the Seder's over. What exactly does it mean when it refers to the shiare matzah umaror, the remnants of matzah and maror, as this mitzvah that they're carrying, they want to keep it close by, they have it wrapped up on their shoulders? It's hard to understand how that's called the mitzvah. Let's analyze it just for 2 minutes in halacha. There's a comment of Chazal in Maseches Megillah in source number 6. And it's important to remember this. And Bnei Yeshurun will thank me because people will stop sticking all those extra unnecessary things in the shameless box. Maybe. Let's see. Tana Rabbana, Tashmishe Mitzvah. What do you do with Tashmishe Mitzvah? Mitzvah objects. You did the mitzvah. The mitzvah is now over. You have the object that's still lying around. What do you do with your lulav after Sukkos? What do you do with your tzitzis when they're worn out? So says the Gemara in Megillah Chavavim and Beis, Tashmishe mitzvah nizrakin. You can throw them out. When the mitzvah's over, the mitzvah's over. Right? Mitzvah objects can be thrown away. Tashmishe kedusha nignazin. What requires geniza? What has to be properly buried and disposed of in a holy way? Tashmishe kedusha. And the Gemara gives examples. You don't have it on the page in front of you, but we know the examples. Tzitzis, tashmishe mitzvah. A shofar, you don't have to put a shofar in the shemus box. A lulav, a sukkah, imagine if everyone tried bringing their schach to shul. Right? You know, those are tashmishe mitzvah. When the mitzvah's over, state in the Gemara, nizrakin, you can throw it out. What's tashmishe kedusha? Tefillin, mezuzos, obviously a worn out sefer Torah, even the container and the box of the tefillin, the straps of the tefillin. Okay, that's called tashmishe kedusha. Anything that has words of Torah in it. Mezuzah, words of Torah. Tefillin, words of Torah. Sefer Torah, words of Torah. A sukkah, a lulav, a shofar, tzitzis can be thrown away. So, for example, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch by tzitzis, in source number 7, chute tzitzis shenifsuku, if you have tzitzis strings that have been torn off, yachol lezarkon la'ashpa, you can put them in the garbage. It's not sacrilegious. Mipneishi mitzvah she'ein begufa kedusha. Now, adds the Ramah in the italicized print, V'yesh Omrim, Da'af la'achar shenifsaku, ein linog behen minog bizayon, lizarkon b'makum maguna. What does that mean? That means that even when you throw out your tzitzis strings, so don't throw them in with all the other, you know, disgusting types of garbage, right? Don't put it in with the dirty diapers. Don't put it in with, you know, your chicken bones, right? Wrap it up nicely, put it in its own little bag, and then place it on top of the garbage, and then when the garbage man takes it away, then it's their problem. But don't throw it out in a way that's scornful, in a way that is disrespectful. But they don't require burial. You don't have to put your tzitzit strings in the shemus box. He's quoting the Kolbo. And some are precise, and some have that extra sensitivity to actually bury them as well. Again, it's an expense for the community, or for the individual, so it's something to think about. And if you want to be stringent, okay, it's nice, but you certainly don't have to. You don't have to bury your lulav after Sukkos, right? What about a sukkah? Again, just to highlight this point again, the Taz writes in source number 8, where it's bolded, that even when you have schach, Tov shelo lasos bo litzorech davar she'eino kavod lemitzvah she'avra. You should try to do something not maguna with it. Again, don't put your schach in with the regular garbage, but find a nice way to get rid of it. The Prima Gadim in source number 9 says the same thing may be true for the walls of the sukkah, even though the schach is really the mitzvah, the walls are really secondary, but even the walls of the sukkah, you should dispose of them in a sensitive way. Okay, but the bottom line is they can be thrown out. So what's with this shiare matzah, shiare maror, the remnant of matzah, the remnant of maror? The Taz, that same Taz, Rav David Halevi Segal, in the late 1500s, early 1600s. Not only did he write, of course, his famous Turei Zahav, the Taz, the Turei Zahav on Shulchan Aruch, but he also wrote a super commentary on Rashi. Super commentary means a commentary on a commentary. It's also super, it's a super commentary, it's a great commentary, but it's a commentary on Rashi's commentary on Chumash. So he asks on this Rashi, I don't get it. What do you mean they're holding on to that extra piece of romaine lettuce on their shoulder to give kavod to the remnant of the... It's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah's over. They ate the matzah in Mitzrayim. They ate the mar. This is just leftover stuff. So writes the Taz in his Divrei David, that's the name of his super commentary on Rashi, in source number 10, where it's bolded, V'kosha. Ma mitzvah yesh b'shiyare matzah umar. What is the mitzvah of an extra crumb, an extra piece of matzah? Or an extra stalk of maror? Hakvar nase ha mitzvah bizmana. The mitzvah is done. He asks our question explicitly. And the Taz says an interesting thing. V'nira kevin duhoksa l'mitzvah. It could be that since it was designated for a mitzvah, when you first put out the maror, you put out the matzah, this could have been the piece of matzah that you ate at the Seder night. This could have been your kezias. So since it was designated for a mitzvah, yesh li zahir af benoyser mimena l'chavavu. So that matzah that didn't make the cut, so to speak, that poor piece of matzah that got stuck, you know, at the bottom of the box or the bottom of your matzah bag, or that piece of maror which wasn't selected to be used for the mitzvah of al achilas maror in the good old days with some carbon Pesach. So we don't want to treat it in a way that's insulting. And therefore, since it was designated for a mitzvah, even after the mitzvah, we still want to, you know, we kind of like feel bad. It got left out, so we want to give it a little extra covered. Meaning the lulav that actually got to be the lulav, so when it's done, you can put it in the garbage. But the piece of matzah and the piece of maror that got left out, we want to show that, you know, we have respect for it. And then the Taz says something very interesting. He concludes the piece. He says, "V'zeh siyua l'masha kasavti." This is a support for what I wrote in my writings in Halacha, in Orach Chaim Simin Kuf Samach Zayin. If you have challah that was used for the Shabbos Suda, and now you have some leftover bread, you shouldn't give it away to a kuti. Now, a kuti probably just means a non-Jew, because once it was designated for Suda Shabbos, it shouldn't be turned back into a regular meal, right? Can I use the extra challah during the week? I mean, that's also kind of regular. But the Taz has such an interesting idea that once something is designated for a mitzvah, we try to use it all the way through. Okay, it's an interesting thought. But again, I want to try to explore our two questions in a slightly different fashion. And since tonight is the 5th of Shvat, the yahrzeit of the Sfas Emes, we're going to use the Sfas Emes, three pieces from the Sfas Emes, to try to explore our two questions. Number one, why is Moshe arguing so strongly, we need the kids? Paro's Svara seems to make a lot of sense. Leave the kids behind. Don't shut the kids. And secondly, why are we calling the remnant of the matzah and the maror, this leftover piece of matzah and maror, we're calling it shiari mitzvah, and the Jews are being machabeh it, and they're treating it with this awesome respect? Why is that necessary? Tonight is the 115th yahrzeit of the Sfas Emes. He passed away in 1905. Who was the Sfas Emes? Rav Yehuda Aryeh Leib Alter, the Sfas Emes was the second Rebbe of Ger, the Ger Rebbe. He was born in 1847 in Warsaw, in Poland. He passed away, like I said, in 1905 in Gora, Ger, also in Poland. And he was pretty young. He was 57 years old when he passed away. 20,000 people came to his Levaya with very short notice. And on the way to the Levaya, his son, the Imre Emes, who would become the third Rebbe of Ger, Rav Mordechai, who was named after the Sfas Emes' father. Sfas Emes' father passed away when he was young. Sfas Emes was raised by his grandfather, the Chiddush Arim, the first Ger Rebbe. So on the way to the Levaya, the Imre Emes said to his brother, our father, Baruch Hashem, had a Richas Yamim. Richas Yamim? 57 years old. That's not That's a Arichas Yamim. So the Imrei Emes, who was very precise with the way that he spoke, and very, very, very brief in the way that he spoke, he said to his brother, I didn't say Arichas Shanim, I said Arichas Yamim. What does that mean? I didn't say he had length of years, but he had length of days. Our father spent his time, he maybe didn't have many in this world, 57 years, relatively young person, but he made all of his days count in an amazing way. When the Chedushei Arim, his grandfather, Sfas Emes's grandfather, passed away in 1866, he's 18 years old at the time, he's a young man at the time, right? And they offered him already as a teenager, mamish, to become Rebbe. Just think about what that means for a second, what type of yid he must have been, that Alter Chassidim in their 70s said, we want you. And they weren't just picking him because he was an einikel. They were picking him because they saw he could be a Rebbe. For a couple of years, for about 4 years, he said, I can't do it. I'm too young. And finally, in 1870, he accepted. All of 23 years old at the time. He became the Rebbe of Ger. It's amazing. It's very hard to describe. And I want to give cover to the Sfas Emes by learning his Torah instead of just telling stories and talking about him. But the Sfas Emes was awesome. His Torah learning was awesome. His scholarship was unbelievable in all areas of Torah. We have Sfas Emes in Shas. We have his Chidushim in Chassidus. The drushas that he used to give, which were published after his death. The title Sfas Emes, the title of the Sefer, is taken from his last drusha, Parshas Vayechi in 1905. The Avnei Nezer, the Rebbe of Sokotchev, who gave a hesped for the Sfas Emes. The Avnei Nezer in his home had two bookcases. Famous story. He had one bookcase where he kept the books written by the Rishonim. In other words, Jews who lived primarily before the 1500s, right? He had another bookcase where he kept the Svarim of the Achronim, so to speak. Again, there's no precise point where the Achronim is, but let's assume the 1500s and on. Where do you think he kept the writings of the Sfas Emes published in the 1800s? On the bookcase of the Rishonim. That's the esteem that the Avnei Nezer, the Rebbe of Sokotchev, had for the Sfas Emes. The Chedushei Arim was visited in Warsaw one time by the Divrei Chaim. And this is still when the Sfas Emes was just a baby. And the Chedushei Arim took care of his guest, the Divrei Chaim of Sanz, a Chashuv Rebbe. He took care of him, he invited him into his home, he gave him a good meal. They learned together. And afterwards, when he was getting ready to leave, he said, oh, I have to show you something. There's something that I want to give to you. I want to show something to you. He said, you did enough for me, it's fine, you can let me. No, I have a chiddush I really want to show you. And he walks him into the back room. And he sees there's a little crib, a little cradle, with a baby in it. His grandson, the Sfas Emes. And he says to the Divrei Chaim, the Rebbe of Sanz, he says, this is the Chiddush that I wanted to show you. This child, you'll see what a Chiddush he's going to be. His Torah scholarship was awesome. His leadership in transforming the Ger Hasidim was amazing. One of the largest Hasidus before destruction of so many Jews in the Shoah. So I want to learn three teachings from the Sfas Emes to try to, again, to answer our two questions tonight. Why is Moshe fighting for the children to go out into the wilderness? Power seems to be correct. And why are we calling this little extra piece of matzah and this little extra piece of maror, why are we calling it shiare mitzvah, remnants of mitzvahs? So we start in source number 11, the Sfas Emes in the Likutim on Parshas Bo in this week's Parsha. Vashe hiksha paro lishaleach hataf mikoidim. That which paro was that which we asked, that Paro is refusing to send the children. He makes the connection to Hakel. That which we find by Chazal in the Gemara and Chagiga that we learned earlier tonight, that why do we bring along the children, Hataf Lama Bo'u, to give reward to those who slept them along? Litein Schar L'mivi'ayim, Ein Amuvan. That whole idea is hard to understand. Kevin Che'ein Tam, Lamaschar. If the children aren't getting anything out of it, so what's the reward for the parents? We just ask them to do something annoying? You deserve a reward for doing something annoying? What's the point? Again, if you work hard to do something purposeful, Hashem gives you a greater reward. If you work hard to do something that doesn't make sense, why should you get a greater reward? Ulam ha-perish, sheyesh koach bi-Yisrael lasos maisa l'shem shemayim v'nasim yizembitz. Says the Sfas Emes, an amazing yesod. Sometimes the way that a Jew does something, even if it doesn't really fulfill the letter of the law, if it doesn't fulfill the exact purpose, if I were to look at Yiddishkeit as a checklist, it wouldn't really be one of the boxes I need to check off. But when I do something and I mean well by it, and I do it l'shem shemayim, that itself is a form of a mitzvah. V'hu inyan Torah Sheba'al Peh. This is the concept of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Now, the Sfas Emes is alluding to something very deep here, which would require a lot of explanation. But the idea of Torah Shebaal Peh, so to speak, our contribution to the Word of God. Torah Shebichsav is a closed book. A precise number of letters, a precise number of psukim, a precise number of words. We don't tamper with it, not even the slightest. Not even a point on top of the yud. We don't touch Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebaal Peh, that's where we get to dabble. Abaye and Rava, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It's us sitting with the Chumash and saying our own idea. That's called Torah Shebaal Peh. It's adding our own touch, so to speak, to what Hashem asks of us. And therefore, explains the Sfas Emes at the bottom of the right-hand column, three lines from the bottom. V'zeh she'amar Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom. B'nei'reinu, we need our children. Why? Ki chag Hashem lanu. Because we, the parents, have something that we need to actually do. Lanu mamish. As it says, asher tikru'u osam kanizkar le'el. What's going on here? The Sfas Emes is hinting to a lot of things. Let's keep reading. V'inei hataf nichlalim left column ba'avihem. The children are included with their parents. The parents are saying, Moshe is saying, the parents have a holiday, and when we bring the children along, the children get schar for coming along because the children are included within their parents. It's like the Torah Shebaal Peh aspect of this mitzvah. The parents bring the karbanos, and the children who come along, that's sort of like the hiddur mitzvah. In what sense? Val yidei, now it starts to make sense. Look at the words. Val yidei she'osa ha'av ve'eim imo mitzvah nizdache chaben v'nitosev bo kedusha. When you schlep your children along, and sometimes we wonder, you know, like I'm going to have my kids sit next to me in shul, like what's he going to get out of it? Now, you have to be careful in terms of creative and thoughtful chinuch. You don't want to build resentment. But sometimes you try to expose your children to a positive Jewish experience. Or sometimes we try to expose the child within ourselves, the part of us that doesn't get it, to a positive Jewish experience. When the parents are doing something meaningful, and the child is, so to speak, indirectly a part of it, nizdache chaben, v'nitosev bo kedusha, the child becomes more refined because of his culturally Jewish experience, and it adds kedusha to his life. Af she'eino bar das, even though the kid doesn't have a clue what's going on here. Neither by hakil and neither by being schlepped into the midbar. Ukumo machshava tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu metzarfa lemaisa. Like the Gemara says, a good intention is equated like doing something. How is the Sfas Emes explaining that in our context? Over here, the parents are doing something. The child, so to speak, has a good intention. He wants to be a part of it, even though he has no clue what's going on. So we give the kid credit. And there's a hashpa that's felt. There's a kedusha that's added to the life of that child. Kain chisaron ma'isav shalaben mitzad onsa. The fact that the child is an ones, the child can't do the mitzvah because it's a baby. The baby can't bring a karban. But that's not the child's fault. By bringing the child along, you're saying, if this child could do the karban, he would or she would. And therefore Hashem says, well, then I'm going to give them credit for wanting to do a good thing. Who command the Ovid. The child has the desire, so to speak, that innate desire of every Jew to want to be close to Hashem, even though this baby doesn't even realize what it wants. And the parent does the action, and the whole family is transformed. Such a beautiful idea. And that's what's gained by bringing the children along. Because they can also, whether they realize it or not, receive an emotional experience. They can have kedusha added to them. Their soul can become more refined from just being around good things. And that's, so to speak, the Torah Shebaal Peh aspect of bringing the children into the wilderness. It's a deep idea, but it becomes more clear if we keep going on with the next piece of Sfas Emes. Also in this week's Parsha, in the regular writings, from the year Tav Resh Nuntes. What is the idea of the Shiarei Mitzvah? That extra piece of matzah. That extra piece of maror. We just tried to explain. It's difficult. We don't have it fully down. But bringing the kids is, so to speak, Torah Shebaal Peh. Bringing the children is like a hiddur mitzvah. Bringing the children is like machshava tova, a good thought that is attached to a good deed that you're not able to do. The child can't do the action, but when they have good intentions as being a part of it, it changes them. Let's go back to our other question. Let's go back to our piece of matzah now. It explains the Sfas Emes in source number 12. It's beautiful. And it's very, very deep, and it gives us an appreciation of the context of mitzvahs. Because if Yiddishkeit is just going to be a checklist, we're going to end up with a very dry and a very empty Yiddishkeit. Says the Sfas Emes, look at the context of the mitzvah. The pasuk says in source number 12, Misharosam tsuroros besimlosam. The extra remnant is wrapped in their garments. Amru b'mechilta, the medrash that Rashi quoted, v'chilo hayo lahem behemos, they had plenty of animals to schlep for them, rak lechabi besamitzvah. Says the Sfas Emes where it's bolded. Ki nei ikur tachlitz hamitzvah, lios nishar mimena rishima ba'adam. A mitzvah is not something you do to get it over with. The Sfas Emes says, and he's speaking to us tonight on his yard site, I'm just reading the word, but he's speaking to us. The Sfas Emes says the purpose of doing a mitzvah is that it leaves a roshem. It leaves a mark on a person. It transforms a person. It's not get it done, put it aside, and we're done. We move on. It makes a mark. It makes a roshem. As I explained, he writes elsewhere, U'mitzvasai titzpun itach. Safun, right? Afikomen, take a little remnant. We also try to hold on to a little bit of matzah at the end of the meal. The mitzvahs have to be hidden away for you, taken with you, as it says in Mishlei. Kasher osin ha-mitzvos berov ahava v'tshuka. When you're excited to do the mitzvah, when you're energetic about a mitzvah, nish'eres ha'ores ha-mitzvah b'nefesh ha'adam. The mitzvah leaves a spiritual illumination on your soul. As it says, tzadik z'chuyosav chakukin al atzmosav. As Chazal say, a tzadik has his merits, has his mitzvos written on his bones. You ever hear stories of tzaddikim, of mekubalim? You go to a mekubal and they look at you and they say, oh, I can read your forehead. I can see you did this avera, you did that avera. Tzaddikim have the ability to look at you and see what you've been up to. Because if you had the eyes to see, our actions are etched into us. So if you do a mitzvah and you do it well, it's carved into you. It's etched into your essence, into your bones. So what does it mean they took alpipnimius on a deeper level? What does it mean they took the extra matzah, the remnant of the matzah, the remnant of the maror? It was wrapped in their clothing. What does it mean? Remez al halavush shenasa al yedei hamitzvos. It's alluding to the garment that we all wear from our mitzvos. What is our most significant garment? What's our most significant garment? Our body. Our neshama is our essence. Our body is a garment. So if I do a mitzvah and I do it really well, it makes beautiful garments. The matzah is wrapped in the garments. Means when they ate that matzah, they did it in a way. Yes, al pi pshat, they took the extra matzah. But al pi chasidus, al pi pnimiyas haTorah. What we're saying is that the matzah was carried within them. Not just in their stomachs, it became part of their souls. It became the garment to their soul. As Chazal explained on the pasuk, v'yichu lahem, l'mahim pesach, why did they prepare the Karban Pesach for so many days? And the answer is, Chazal say, l'fi shayu b'nei Yisrael arum ve'erya min ha-mitzvos, because they needed to deepen their connection to mitzvos. And therefore Hashem didn't say, Karban Pesach, take it, do it right now, get it over with. No. Hashem said, savor it, hold on to it. Tie it to your bedpost for a couple of days. Yes, when you do the mitzvah, that part's for Hashem. But holding on to the mitzvah, the preparation for the mitzvah, and holding on to the mitzvah when it's over, that part's for you. When I do the mitzvah is for God. But the preparation of the mitzvah. And the excitement, the anticipation for the mitzvah, before and after. When we come back after doing the mitzvah, we still talk about the mitzvah. That's called shiare matzah, shiare maror. That's wrapped up in our clothing. It's wrapped up in our essence. Mitzad zeh nasa malbush hanefesh. Sha mitzvah nosen es bracha lefaneo lachera. We don't just make a bracha on a mitzvah before we do it, or sometimes even after a mitzvah. But in fact, the mitzvah gives us a bracha. There's an expansion of the mitzvah, both before and after the mitzvah. He tells us that Chazal tell us here, Hure Aveira Kashin Me Aveira. Sometimes thinking a negative thought is even worse than the action itself. Sometimes you can do more damage in your mind than you would actually do in this world. But says the Sfas Emes where it's bolded, Kamo Kain, Hure Mitzvah, Tovim Mi Guf HaMitzvah. Sometimes the contemplation, the anticipation, the takeaway from the mitzvah is actually more purposeful in a certain sense for you. The mitzvah is for God. The actual performance of the mitzvah is for God. But the preparation is for you. And what you take from the mitzvah is for you. V'hainu ki agam she'ikr pagam ha'avera b'shorish hibas yasa. Yes, on a certain level, says the Sfas Emes. The damage from the avera is in the performance of the avera. Aval ha'kilkul el ha'nefesh ha'adam. But the damage to the soul of an Aveira is from all the contemplation that went into the Aveira. And he says, V'chein hu b'mitzvah. The same thing's true by a mitzvah. Yes, the mitzvah itself is Sorech Avoa. But he says where it's bolded in three lines from the bottom, Aval rov ahir. But all the thinking, the preparing, getting people excited for the mitzvah, Chuka la mitzvah, mitaki nefesh ha'adam. That's how you prepare the soul of a person. And he says that's what it means when the Mishnah tells us in Makos, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos Es Yisrael. Lefichach hir b'lehem Torah mitzvos. What does it mean? Hashem wanted us to have a lot of success in this world, so He gave us a lot of mitzvos. What does it mean? Shekol HaTikunim Shalamala, that all of the fixing that takes place on high, Masar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'bnei Yisrael, Lios Nasen Eilu HaTikunim Al Yedei HaMitzvos Shebnei Yisrael Osam. Hashem says, I want to partner with you. Again, the mitzvah, that's really my part. But the preparation that you put into the mitzvah and what you hold on to after you've completed the mitzvah, that's how you refine your soul. That's how you make beautiful garments for your soul. That's etching the mitzvah, so to speak, onto your bones, onto your very essence. We don't have so much time, so I'm going to skip over source 13 and try to just tie up the shir. This is the yesod that the Sfas Emes is developing in these pieces, and it's the answer to both of our questions. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu taking the taf? Why does he want to bring the children along? Because again, if you love mitzvos, it's more than just the mitzvah. Oh, you're not chayiv in the mitzvah? The kid's not chayiv in the mitzvah, so why do we need to include him? It's not just about checking off a box. It's about having an experience of a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to give the child a taste of a mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Paro, we've been waiting hundreds of years to get out of Mitzrayim. You think the kids aren't going to be a part of it? You know how exciting this is for us? We want the youth to be involved. We don't want to just get it over with and move on with our lives. If only we knew what a mitzvah was. If only we could actually experience what a mitzvah is. And again, the Sfas Emes is trying to get us to taste a little bit, to savor some of that flavor that's found within a mitzvah. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes, it's an amazing and famous Or HaChaim in Parshas Kisava, on the words, V'samachta b'chol hatov. You should rejoice with all that is good. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, Ein tov ela Torah. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf, hey, tov is a code word for Torah. V'samachta, you should rejoice b'chol hatov, with all that is good. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes, beautiful words, sweet words, that if we only knew what Torah was, if we only knew the value of a mitzvah, if we only knew really what it was, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, we would literally go crazy for mitzvahs. We wouldn't be interested, tempted by anything in this world. We'd want to drag anyone along to give them even the slightest taste of what a mitzvah is. We don't know the power of a word of Torah. We don't understand the value of a tiny mitzvah, a word of tefillah, the tiniest bit of tzedakah. We have no idea what it's worth. But again, we show Hashem that we want to know what it's worth by trying to prepare for the mitzvah, by trying to get people excited about the mitzvah, bringing the children along for the mitzvah. When the mitzvah's over, shiare matzu maror. Yeah, maybe in halacha it's no longer called the mitzvah. Halachically it's not the mitzvah. But I want to make sure there's a roshem. I want to make sure that it makes garments, that it's wrapped in my garments. I want to hold on to it. The Gemara says in Kedushin Lamites, Schar mitzvah b'hai al maleka. There's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. And the Mefarshim explained, because there can't be. To cash out your mitzvahs in this world with the pleasures of this world, you'd be getting ripped off. So Hashem saves it for the next world. Where like it says in Pirkei Avos, Yafesh Shoa Achas. Better is a one moment, a breath, of a koras ruach b'olam haba, mikol chai olam haza. A moment in olam haba is better than all the pleasures of this world combined. So I want to leave with a story from the Chiddush Sherem, the Sfas Emes' grandfather who raised him, the first Ger Rebbe. The first Ger Rebbe was traveling one time. He's walking with a couple chassidim. And as he's walking with these chassidim, and it was a cold day, and it was a rainy day, and it was muddy, and they were schlepping along. They didn't have proper means of transportation. All of a sudden, he sees a fellow drive by, a Jewish person, but a very unrefined person, an uncouth person, a very wealthy gvir, who was a bit scornful, a Jewish person, but scornful of rabbanim, and scornful of tzaddikim. And this guy's, he's got his beautiful chariot, he's got his white horses drawing the chariot. Clearly a very ostentatious display of his wealth based on his clothing, what he's sitting with amongst him. And he stops the wagon, he stops the chariot alongside the Chiddush Sherem. And he says, it's so interesting. It's so interesting. We say in Shema, Hishamru lachem pen yivtel levavchem, v'atzar es ha-shamayim v'lo yamatar. We say in Shema, you know, be careful because, you know, if you don't live a life of Torah and mitzvos, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold back the rain. In other words, you're not going to be successful in this world. You're not going to have parnasa. And he said to the Chiddush HaRim in a very disgusting and scornful way, it's just kind of interesting. We say that in Shema, but, you know, you're supposedly this big tzaddik and you're schlepping along in the mud. And you probably don't think very much of me, but I'm making it in this world. So I don't really understand that line in the Shema. I mean, it doesn't seem to be true. The people who don't practice that much can sometimes be very successful. And if it really works, then why are you schlepping along in the mud and I'm sitting in this beautiful chariot with these white horses drawing me along? So Chiddush HaRim thought for a minute. And he says to the fellow, well, it's clear to me from the fact that you said this beautiful shtickle Torah on Shema, you must have at least said Shema once in your life. And he said to him, he put him in his place, he said to him, and it could be that your entire Olam Haba for the one time you said Shema is in your horses and is in your chariot, is in your beautiful clothing, is in the fancy gourmet food that I see that you're sitting alongside on your way to your palace. It could be your whole Olam Haba is in that. But those of us who really believe in Torah and mitzvos, those of us who understand what it's really worth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does us a favor and He saves it for us in the next world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to give it to us in this world. Schar mitzvah b'hai al-malek. So again, an answer to our two questions. Right? Why is Moshe saying it's so critical that the children come along? And what does Rashi mean when he calls, again, Misharo Sam, the remnants of mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah anymore. But again, Moshe is teaching us, and the Parsha is teaching us, there's an attitude a Jew has when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs. We want people to be involved. We want the mitzvah to be more than just that fleeting moment of checking off a box and fulfilling my responsibility. I want it to be an experience that I can hold on to. I want to give it over to a child who doesn't even understand what he's experiencing, but knowing that it transforms his soul. That's the Hidur mitzvah. That's the Torah Sheva Al Peh aspect. That's our contribution to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has offered us the opportunity to do in this world. And Amir Tzashem, each and every one of us should do it very proudly, should do it in a deep and meaningful way. And Amir Tzashem will be able to not only give Nachas Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Sfas Emes on his yard side is smiling down upon us, saying that, you listened to my words of Torah, and you took them to heart, and Amir Tzashem will live them each and every day of our lives. Good Shabbos.